Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Dot Matrix, episode 22. I'm Justin.
And I'm Sean.
This is our first one in a month and a half, I think it is. It's a month and... yeah, a month and a half, at least. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you missed us? I don't know. Have people missed us? Maybe the three people who maybe listened to it? Well, actually, I think it's like 11 or something. I was just on the site yesterday to see when was the last time we had done our podcast, and I was looking through. And the site, although I love it, it's great. The Podbean website that we use is fine, but it is kind of the date that things are posted are kind of hidden. Like, you don't really can tell very obviously on the website.
Oh.
And so I was reading the description, and you sort of see the other things, like how many people have played it or downloaded it. It's just a little, it says like 11 or 10, and
right.
It was like 15, and at some point we were like 30 or 60 something in the early episode, so I think we've lost a bunch of people, but you know.
You know what that means? More marketing.
Marketing, yeah, more marketing. Or maybe we should be more consistent.
I think a mix of both.
Yeah. Maybe more entertaining. Well, how can we be more entertaining? We're pretty entertaining, I think, so.
I would say so. I know our friends think so. Thanks, friends.
Wow, that just sort of hung there, just slightly. Good thing you laughed, otherwise it would
good thing
just...
you laughed. It's good. Laugh away from the mic. That's awesome.
Yeah. This is our second episode using the Snowball mic, by the way, which I'm quite enjoying. It's quite classy looking, you know?
I know. Oh, we'll have to post a picture.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, why aren't we taking pictures of us doing this?
Well, because we're naked, so it's kind of...
Ah, right. Yes. Viewer discretion.
NC-17.
It is good. It's a nice mic, and it's fun having a mic like this. It's kind of got that kind of classic retro look, but nice and new at the same time. So, it's working well.
Yeah. I think, is there a picture online for this?
Oh, definitely. You know,
a product picture? We can sort of link to it or something.
Yeah, we'll send it to the site.
You know.
Yeah, I found a good demo on it, and like a lot of people apparently use it to podcast, and that's good, because we fit in right in with that, because...
We are, in fact, doing a podcast.
We are, in fact, doing a podcast. but also, because, you know, we're not at that, you know, Bill Moyers pro level yet.
Right.
You know.
Speaking of Bill Moyers, I want to get right to the first topic, is I haven't... There's the one that just downloaded, but there's one before it,
okay.
Last week, I believe.
Yeah.
Nikki, a poet. Did you hear that one?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen to that one.
Okay.
She is, I guess, a poet in residence at Virginia Tech.
Oh.
And so she was there when the massacre happened a few years ago in Virginia Tech, and and she's just, you know, pretty much... a world-renowned poet in that field. I mean, I didn't really know her, and until I heard the interview. But it was amazingly interesting interview, and her poetry was really powerful.
Cool.
And it was just, it was everything that I love about Bill Moyers, which I know we're still on this Bill Moyers fix. But what I love about him is that, and I hope we can try to get to this at some point when we sort of start to branch out more, like introducing interesting people who I wouldn't normally know about, right? So I wouldn't
Absolutely.
Know about her, and she was such a she was the kind of person who you heard this interview, you're like, you know, I'd love to have a dinner with her or just hang out with her. She seems
Absolutely.
Really cool.
Yeah. I could picture how this, you know, podcast is going to sound. I'm really excited to listen to it now.
So I was, because I think a couple of weeks ago or something, he had John Lithgow about his book of poetry. Then he has...
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a great one. And then now he had her and as well about, you know, focus on poetry. It was really, like, it was fascinating. I loved it. So anyways, I mentioned that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because, you know, I like poetry, and, you know, I every now and again partake in writing it, trying to, and I know a lot of people tend to kind of stay away from it. I was talking to Elaine about it recently, and we were kind of like, yeah, why is it dead, you know? It seems like a dead art form. Maybe it's not dead. Like, I think a lot of, it has its legion of, you know, faithful followers, you know, for the art itself, but... You know, it's not really an art medium that's really, you know, on the same scale
right.
as a lot of obviously newer media and arts. You know,
well, it's funny because it's been, but it still gets a place in prominence in certain institutional settings. Like, there's always a poet laureate that's get named on a regular basis, at least down in the States. I'm not quite sure if in Canada that happens. And if you think about the Obama inauguration, which happened after our last podcast, so we should probably talk a little bit about that here.
Absolutely.
There was a poem that was commissioned for the event, and
it was, you know what? I was hot and cold on it.
Well, she, the poet who wrote it, she was on the Colbert Report the next day.
Oh, no.
It was quite fascinating. Like,
oh,
they were talking about
it.
I didn't
see that. Okay.
But yeah, so, I mean, it has still a prominent place, but always the reaction to it is kind of muted, because it's still, it kind of seems out of place sometimes, right? Like, it's out of context, and people get discount, I think, the art form, because it's sort of, oh, well, it's only there because they have to do that every year, or every
sure.
inauguration, or whatever. So,
right.
So I think, although the place in these institutions keep it alive, it also, at the same time, doesn't help it grow again, because people, you know, in a meritocracy, you know, people should and art forms and pieces of work or whatever should, you know, build popularity because it merits it, right? And not because it was there because someone told you it had to be there and you had to listen to it, right? So there's kind of a counterbalance thing going, I think, in terms of at least North American society.
And yeah, I mean, and you know, people are used to reading things that are more immediate to them, like an article or a newspaper or some, you know, something online, whereas like in a magazine, whereas, you know, you don't see people buying, you know, these poem journals or, you know, almost kind of almost fringe, you know, it seems kind of fringe almost, you
right.
know? And I don't know, I think it's kind of disappointing in a way.
Well, and I think, I mean, I don't know how other cultures that say like Asian cultures or Eastern European cultures, but definitely Western European cultures, poetry is still alive. I think it's not alive and well, but it's at least alive in terms of its stature. And you think about like, oh, you know, reading poetry as a romantic art form to your loved one or to when you're trying to woo someone, you know, it's still a very manly thing in Western European circles when you think about it, you know,
right.
But, you know, romance is kind of dead in North America in that sense, in that very traditional campy sense. I mean,
for sure.
Not necessarily in my life, which is alive and well, but just to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
Nice.
But, you know, like when you see, like, say you're walking down the street of Vancouver and someone's reading poetry to his girlfriend on a park bench, maybe, it's like, oh, bag, you know, it's just
cheese.
Too cheese, right? But if you saw that same scene in, like, a park bench in Paris, which is where you guys are going to, you know, like,
that's right.
I'm sure there'll be a different reaction to that. You know what I mean? Like, so,
yeah.
So that's also, I think, playing into it.
Well, it's funny you mentioned with the park, because the Grandview Park over here, just off Commercial Drive, where we are here.
Yep.
On a Saturday, a couple Saturdays ago, there was this guy, it was like, a bunch of people taking turns doing performance poetry. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. And he was like standing on this rock. And he had this little cup at the bottom, I guess, for
right.
change. But it was just like a day of, you know, I guess you could call it like a, you know, like a whatever, like just, what do you call that? Just not poetry slam stuff, but just any type of poem or, you know, performance of it. A reading, constant reading all day. And I walked by a few times, I saw different people.
It's like a little marathon going on.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, like, obviously this is one of the few places in Vancouver to actually see something like that going on in public, but,
yeah.
I, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like the epicenter of that. But they have big poetry slam stuff happening at Café du Soleil, the one close to Skytrain.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's really big over there, which is interesting, and tons of people turn out for that. So I think it's, you know, it has its little pockets.
Yeah, it has its pockets.
But I think it's just like an attention span thing, right? Like, whereas people, they want something more immediate. They don't want to sit there and try and decipher what something's supposed to mean. I think people just don't have the time for that anymore, it seems. But,
right.
But it's cool, yeah. The Obama one, like, it was good. There were some interesting parts, but I liked the actual speeches more than the poem that day, but...
Yeah, yeah.
The piece of music was nice, but they were all lip-syncing. Or actually you can do that with instruments.
Lip playing. Or
Yeah, they're miming it, yeah. So I found that kind of interesting. But you kind of have to.
Well, they were saying it was
telecast.
So cold or something that you don't know what's going to happen.
But I really enjoyed that. And I thought it was a good inauguration, aside from the mess up of the...
Of the taking the oath, yeah.
Taking the oath. Which, At first, I thought it was Obama's fault, but it was actually the
Chief Justice's
fault.
Yeah.
Funny, huh?
Well, it's funny because I wanted to watch the whole thing, and I was like, oh, great, it's, you know, Eastern time, so it's just starting the day. I could just, you know, watch it and then go to work, you know? But I had to be in the North Shore by 10, so I had to leave at 9. So it was during the lip playing or the miming of the song that I had to leave. So I got to see Joe Biden get sworn in.
I'm Joe Biden. Let's do this.
But I didn't get to see Obama to get inaugurated, but I got to see the highlights. I mean, it's quite something.
And I sat there and watched the whole thing, and I watched like 3 hours of parades. That was the thing that struck me the most of the whole day. The constant waving that Obama and his wife had to do.
Right.
Perma smile, you know, everything from marching bands to people with lawnmowers going down that street and you know, behind
the
White House.
He's standing in this glass case, right, or something like that, an observation area. And I remember I saw a little clip of that from the Daily Show the next day, and John Stewart was like saying, wow, you know, imagine the people who are like standing there in space, like something had like weird spacesuit things going on, walking down. And he's like, yeah, the day I went over and wasted the president's time. Because it is kind of weird, like, it's a waste of time. But I think, you know, like, people just want to be included, and how else do you do it, right? You know, like...
Oh, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Anyways.
It's all in good fun, but it's a bit long. I think they could cut it down, but...
But I just think about, like, that, and about when... Think about in Canada, and juxtaposing it to Canada, and when, let's say, you know... Paul Martin was defeated as Prime Minister and Stephen Harper became Prime Minister. Like, I don't even remember. Like, it's just suddenly he was Prime Minister. Like, we don't make any deal at all. Like, it's not even just he has a speech or he gets sworn in. And I mean, the cabinet comes in and they have this picture in Rideau Hall of all the cabinet ministers. And suddenly then he's Prime Minister. Like, that's it. Like, there's really no huge, big spectacle and ceremony.
Pomp.
And it's a product of, I guess, of our culture and our more modest, humble culture. But at the same time, you're like, wow, you know, at least it'd be nice to have a speech or someone say something really inspiring, you know, like...
I think it's because they don't do it every 4 years like they do in the States. Like, unless someone is shot, you know, like they do it every 4 years without fail.
That is true.
And it's something, it's like a huge schedule, you know? It's like all the year and a half leading up to the election, it's primaries, and then, you know, debates and campaigning, and then the man or woman wins, right? But here, it's like, because we have the English system where it's like, you know, you can make your government fall, and it's like, John Stewart's like, you can do that? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Or like when John Stewart talked about how our Governor General had the choice of either postponing Parliament or installing, like, the opposition as... ruling, and he's like, you can do that? He just laughs so hard. I think that's why, you know?
That's true. I mean, yeah, there is no... Yeah, that regimentation of it, I'm using, I don't even know if that's a word. But, but you know, like that...
Yeah.
I mean, it is institutional, right? I mean, there is an institution of this. I mean, there's a whole ceremony committee and all these different things. Well, at any moment, you know, you can have a new prime minister, really, you know, like...
I mean, there's people working right now for the next one.
Yeah,
like,
true.
There's gotta be, you know, like, in kind of a grassroots kind of way, right? Like, it's insane.
Sarah Palin, 2012, or 2012, I guess it is. Is it? No. 2012? Yeah,
2012 would be next.
Yeah.
She's not. They still had to tell her what Vice President does every day. Did you see that clip?
Oh, God.
In July, like, 2 months before they added her to, you know...
To the
slate, to the ticket. They asked her on the news on some channel, they're like, what do you think of these rumors that, you know, you could be picked or whatever? And she's like, well, someone has to tell me what a vice president does every day first. it's unbelievable.
And then she was on the nomination on the ticket, and then they asked her to explain what the vice president does. And I think she said something about, like, you know, oh, yeah, the vice president gets in there with the legislators, and he goes, makes laws and stuff. And I'm like, well... Apparently no, that's not it at all.
It's not at all.
You chair the Senate.
The Senate, yeah.
But chairing a Senate and being a senator are two very different things.
Yes. And obviously they still never did tell her what she'd be doing. But I find that all very interesting. Apparently there's going to be a documentary coming out on how the media was unfair to her and biased.
Well, there's a documentary that just came out now, and it was on HBO, in HBO Canada. I saw a little bit of it when it first premiered. It was called Right America, Wronged America, or Right America Feeling Wronged or something.
Right.
And it was about Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who is a documentarian.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, her last documentary, that documentary that won an Emmy, was Journeys with George, and it was following George W. Bush's first presidential campaign.
Really?
And
Pelosi's daughter?
Pelosi's daughter, yeah. And this one is about following the McCain campaign and about sort of how, like, exploring the individuals and people who supported the McCain campaign and what, you know. And apparently, I forget her first name, whatever, Pelosi, I forget her first name, Catherine.
Her daughter's name. Oh, yeah.
I believe she's a Democrat as well, mm. But she just finds it really interesting to sort of show the other side and see what it's like and
right.
what their perspective is. And
mm-hmm.
and I kind of want to watch the whole thing. I haven't seen it.
Oh, that's something to look out for. Yeah. Maybe we'll post a link for that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Well, it's funny because it's been so long since our last podcast, and we promised at the end of our last podcast that we'd do a whole slew of things, right? And one of it being the best of 2008, and I'm more than happy because I didn't do any planning on it. And to be honest, the only good thing about last year was something very personal, which I don't want to say out loud because it's kind of lame and corny. But otherwise, I mean, unless you had anything you wanted to mention about that
last year, oh no, you know, nothing really to mention. Things went well for us in general last year. Like, there's nothing.
Well, it's
you
funny
know,
because if you...
We can complain about, but...
I have a feeling if you sort of go back through the year of podcasts,
oh,
there's
yeah.
probably a tone of disappointment, disillusionment, little mm. whatever. But it's funny because now that the year has passed and we look back on it, yeah, I think it's pretty good.
I think overall it's pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of shit going down last year, just in so many different ways, globally. But
when hope reigns supreme in the end of the year.
Change and hope. And
goes to show, you know, it's not how you start the year, how you feel in the middle. It's what happens at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I thought last year was actually pretty cool. Like, I didn't have any bad moments, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, moments that I regret or moments that, you know, I actually had a lot of fun last year.
Nice.
You know what I mean? I kind of made sure to have some fun last year, and I'm gonna have even more fun this year.
Oh, guaranteed.
You kind of have to, you know. That's what people are saying now. It's like you have to go out there. Like my mom often says that to me. Just, you know, you gotta. If you're gonna play music, you gotta play happy music. Or if you're gonna go out and do something, you gotta make sure you're gonna have some fun. Otherwise, you know, you let it all get to you. You let all the gloom, you know. I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Wow.
Have as much fun as possible, you know?
That's the words to live by.
I think so, just because, you know, we're always like, oh, you know, everything's planned, nothing's spontaneous, you know, it's, as you said, regimented, everything's regimented in our lives, it seems, sometimes, so why not kind of, like, do fun things, mix it up? Like, for instance, this year, Elaine and I are going to Paris.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a wine tasting. Last year I did a scotch tasting, which I don't even know if I talked about on our podcast, but hopefully. And, you know, things like that. Like, we're gonna go camping, I think, in the summer.
Right, yes, yes. I've been mum on that subject.
Well, we know how much you love camping, so.
Right, of course.
But, yeah, so I think, you know, just drink more wine, drink more scotch, and... go out, have fun with people, and that's all you can really hope for, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. I agree with that, wholeheartedly.
And, you know, if bad things happen, just remember that, you know, we don't have bombs dropped on us right now. So that's what I kind of think of more often. I don't like to use bad things to make me feel good about myself, but I like to use it as, like, you know, there's no bombs falling on this house right now, you know what I mean? So I kind of like use that as a reality check. Yeah,
I'm knocking
knock
wood.
On wood. We'll see when the Americans attack, but...
But there's so much stuff that I have to say that's happened. I mean, I think about, the Oscars were just on Sunday. Mm. We just had a very successful guys' night out, I think, you know?
Oh,
and,
yeah!
And
which was fun.
Yes, the inauguration, which we talked about already. The government of Canada came back and they presented a budget, and as we predicted, it did not fall.
That's what we predicted.
Yeah. So you know, like, so much has gone on. We could talk about just about anything.
I've got an idea.
Okay.
Maybe we can predict some things.
Okay.
For example, I predict that by the end of this year, the federal government, Stephen Harper and the Conservatives, will be up for another confidence vote, and they will be brought down by the opposition, and an election will happen, and Michael and Nadia and Liberals will win.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have no confidence that that's going to happen. My prediction is the exact opposite. Well, I mean, I predict you're right that there will be more confidence votes. I mean, there is going to be every quarter, at least. That's what the Liberals want, right, in terms of that check-in from the budget.
Right.
I just don't see it happening. I mean, maybe they will. Maybe the government will fall. Maybe. And if it does, I just don't see Ignatieff exciting people enough to make Stephen Harper not prime minister anymore.
Really?
Yeah, because I think the problem is, he is the Liberal leader of the Liberal Party of Canada, and he now unfortunately has the real problem of being compared to Barack Obama, and that you can't compare yourself to. I mean, whether or not he's going to try to distance himself, I'm a different guy. But as long as President Obama is down there in the United States, you know, exciting people, doing what he does, it's going to make anyone center or left of center in Canada look boring and uninspired.
Interesting.
I totally think that. And
really?
And so, as long as the right is completely confused and fucked up in the States, Harper will be fine. I mean, he's not... He doesn't... People don't like him, but I don't think people think he's doing a horrible job.
And that's
the problem.
He's not as far right as the right is down there, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think people pretty much say that Obama, if he was in Canada, would be probably conservative. You know, like in terms
sure.
of how what his views are aligned,
yeah.
right? And
when
so
you measure it up here.
Yeah, but for all intents and purposes, left is left and right is right. And Obama's on the left, and Ignatieff is just gonna look boring.
Hmm.
And maybe, I mean, he's a smart guy. He's cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
So is Obama, but Obama has a way that Ignatieff just doesn't have.
True enough. I
and Layton doesn't have. Oof.
Oh, well, that's the thing. This is why I think Ignatieff could actually win an election, because I think there's enough people that didn't get behind the Liberals last time with Dion that would definitely get behind Ignatieff. I think he's already shown a ton more leadership, and some people say that he's just telling people what they want to hear, and that could be.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he's... wasn't into the coalition is one thing. Jack Layton's nowhere man. And, you know, the Greens are popular as ever, which is cool, I'm sure. But, you know, when people now see the ideology and the right leanings that Harper is actually really capable of when he kind of messed up last fall... And I think if it's a chance for another election, Ignatieff and the Liberals can actually get way more people behind them this time. And when you don't have people voting for the NDP, which they're not going to, I think, you know, a lot of people who were frustrated with the NDP last time are going to go Liberal. And I think
I agree with that. But I do think people who are soft Liberals are what you would call... a red Tory, or the Liberals that are a little bit
like moderate.
More moderate and
yeah.
more center and more center right, maybe.
Mm.
They're going to be the ones who it's going to be the battle against.
Yes,
I think you're right. I think the left will solidify itself probably with the Liberals because the NDP is just. Or Jack Layton, really. I mean, I don't want to say the whole party, but
right.
Jack Layton just is not. I just don't. I'm sure the guy is probably a nice dude and all, but
oh,
it's just everything you see and the way it's coming across in the media and in the literature and in public opinion and just people talking about it, he's just not coming off well.
He's not. They
you know,
need a new leader.
And he had a really good chance. Like, with that coalition, there was a chance to it could have gone left or right, and it and he was hoping it would go left, but it kind of went right, or it went sideways on him, you know? Like,
sure, yeah.
Like if the coalition could have sold it in a way that would have gotten people like yourself into it, then he was going to be off to the races. He would have been a minister of something or whatever in this coalition government.
Mm-hmm.
But they obviously didn't sell it well enough, or they positioned it poorly, and people who, like yourself, who are you know, sympathetic to the to that viewpoint and that policy and the politics, just was turned off right away, so they're gone. Like, so yeah, I really agree with you in that.
Yeah.
And the battle is going to be on those moderates and those slightly center-right people, which there's a lot of them, right? And I just don't think those people, those voters will switch en masse to the Liberals or stick with the Liberals, or you know what I mean? I think and when you think about the last couple of days with Obama coming to Canada, which I also wanted to watch on television and see what happened, but
me too.
I had to be at the office and working, you know, earning my money. Well, I shouldn't complain because, you know, at least I have a job, you know, it's pretty crazy out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is crazy. I just heard about it. Some people that I know just got laid off, and I'm like, gosh, it's just...
It's all over.
And it's
like, all over the place.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
You know, and then afterwards in this, some of the press, question period about everyone's, like, now name-dropping, like, Obama in the House of Commons in question period with the government. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going down to talk to Obama, or we're doing the Obama administration, but the problem is they have the right and opportunity to do so because they are in government, and they are engaging with the government of Barack Obama.
Right, right.
And that's just going to help. That people just say, you know, well, they seem to have a good working relationship. Why would we fuck it up now and vote in Liberals? Like, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so
true.
I would love to see the switch over like that you're predicting, but I just don't... I can't predict it myself, you know? Like today, Lawrence Cannon is... Or whatever his name is. Lawrence Cannon is going down to meet Hillary Clinton.
Defense?
No, he's Foreign Affairs.
Affairs.
Peter McKay is Defense, right?
Right.
For Canada. And I thought it was a really fascinating thing about... They were saying about Canada and... Actually, isn't, like, Harper, like, in New York City now or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's did, like, all this U.S. press stuff and so forth. And so it's a real charm offensive by the conservative government to try to really align themselves really well with this Obama administration, right? And so...
It's astonishing how his fortunes have turned.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Like, he's, like, in safe haven mode right now, you know? Like, you're right. I think he showed... It could go either way, but he showed how he could really be dangerous. And I think those days aren't over.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do something else to mess it up for a lot of... You know, potentially for a lot of people. And Ignatieff's going to jump on it. He's much sharper. I think Harper was kind of shaken in their boots. Like, they're over the holidays, went to write the budget.
Right,
I think
they
were scared. Because they're like, if we don't make this good, you know, they're going to push us from power, you know?
Right.
But, I don't know, we'll see. But any other predictions? Like, aside from that, like, in any other...
Oh.
I think, like, what about, let's see, what about, like, Olympic-wise? Do you think they're ever going to figure out how much security is going to cost?
Was it 900 million now? Is the number?
Do you remember the first number? Wasn't it like 130
yeah, it was like 100,
million
yeah,
or
it
something?
Was
can you believe
tiny.
That? I laugh. And I think the original budget for the Olympics was 600 million or something. Wasn't like...
Yeah, I don't remember that, but...
Or maybe I'm, you know, there's a ton of figures that have been thrown up over the last few years, you know.
Yeah.
And how, you know, I get really kind of frightened when they say things like, well, we have a really much better understanding of our budget than we did 2 years ago, or something. They're saying things like that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just like, oh, but 2 years ago, you guys were, you know, really certain, you know, about what you guys were doing, you know?
Well, and sponsorship money isn't coming in like it should because of, you know,
the
companies going down, right?
Yeah.
Companies are going bankrupt, right? So,
yeah. It's really scary.
Yeah.
They'll finish the village, right? You think they'll finish the village?
Oh, they have to. It's gonna be done, and we're gonna pay for it for years.
Yeah.
Let's just hope the market comes back up. I'm gonna buy one of those places.
That's a prediction. I know. I've thought about that, too. I've jogged around that area. I'm like, hey, this would be nice.
I mean, it is a great area, and that's what people who complain about Gregor Robertson and sort of sounding like it's like, you know, it's the end of the universe and this is happening.
Right.
But I think it's honest. I think it's pretty good. I'd rather prepare for the worst and make it okay than to sort of sugarcoat it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Sam Sullivan would have just done the complete opposite, right? And I appreciate the honesty. I think people appreciate the honesty.
But he's still doing it. He's coming out in newspapers and saying, it's not going to add a dime to, you know, the taxpayers.
No, well, yeah, I mean, that's... yeah, I mean, there's some rhetoric that I don't agree with. But I think show the books... say what we have to do. We've got this loan now, and whatever. But I think, you know, but it is true that, you know, it isn't going to be as bad as dire, because the city will sell those units at a certain point, and hopefully they'll sell them at some good price, and because it is a great area. Like,
and you can't deny that. It's like, you know, I was just talking to someone at work today about that, you know, how the housing prices have come down, and people's, you know, equity's gone a bit down or whatever. But this is Vancouver. It's like, I don't see, like, a crash, if we're in a crash, if you can call it that, I don't see that lasting forever. Like, for a considerable amount of time. Because it's like, well, look where we are.
Well, and I think it's a readjustment, because I think, I mean, I'm no real estate
expert, healthy,
right?
I think.
Yeah, because I think prices were just too high. Like, it's crazy.
They just were, yeah.
Like, I think about where I live and the property I am in, like, it totally shouldn't be valued at what it's valued at. I mean, those houses are crazy sold for huge amounts that really shouldn't be that high.
Mm.
And so I don't mind the correction a little bit, although I guess, you know, being a homeowner, you want it to be higher, higher, higher.
Right.
But then all those high prices just locks you into where you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I can't afford to sell because no one wants to buy. And I can't afford to buy when I sell because I can't sell for what I want to sell for. You know what? It's
very strange.
It only works for people who haven't been into the market to get into it now.
Absolutely.
You know? And,
which is good.
Yeah. But everything else, everyone just gets locked in place.
Yeah.
Like, what can you do? Right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I totally agree.
But yeah, so I don't know about real estate. I don't think they're going to skyrocket again in the next number of years, actually. But I think they're going to stay kind of stagnant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, meaning, I don't think it's... like, I think it will slowly but steadily kind of grow over time. Like, we might be like this for a year or two or something.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be, like, going down and down and down and down and down until it's, you know what I mean? Until
because
it's
unrealistic. There's still a great place to live.
Yeah.
There's wonderful temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff around to do, you know. It's outdoorsy, all great views, you know. It's all there, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah, other than that, it's kind of hard to say what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think about... I mean, my Oscar predictions were awful. I lost my bet to my sister.
Elaine kicked ass again. She only got two wrong.
Wow, that's better. I think that's better than what Vanessa got.
Really? I only got five right. Oh, Violet. I was awful. And these were the ones I thought were going to win.
Wow.
It was bad. I was horrible.
Yeah, I got like 17 out of 24, whatever it is. I think my sister got a little bit better than that. But yeah, so she won, and so I now have to buy her the Twilight DVD when it comes out on DVD.
Nice.
And I have to fight tooth and nail with her every day now about the food we eat.
You know, I was crying on the first award. I got teary because of the nice things that...
people saying to people?
Yeah, the new format.
What did you think of that?
You know what? I liked it. I thought that was, you know, it was brief. Like, it wasn't, like, over long every time they did it. And I liked how the previous winners really kind of explained the role. Because there's a lot of people that won't... I think it helps the movie, because they're explaining what they were going for in the nominees were going for in their roles.
And I think it's better than showing a little 20-second clip that makes no sense, but you actually... Yeah, right. I think, and I said it to Vanessa during the day, and she put it in her blog about what I said, and about how it's all about context. Like I think it's really interesting to sort of get a sense of what the actor was trying to do, and having another actor sort of saying it. We appreciate what you're trying to do, and it was about showing this character in this way or that way. Like, I like you. I really enjoyed that new format change. It's much better than the way they've done it before. I mean, granted, yes, it makes it much longer. The ceremony was an hour late, I think, an hour longer than it was supposed to be, but they try to shorten other ways, you know, like one, they had less presenters and presenters doing multiple awards, which I thought that was good.
They've been doing that for a while. Like, that's not entirely new.
That's not entirely new, but they had, but, I mean, Will
Smith.
They
did better.
Yeah, Will Smith, like, wouldn't he gave out, like, four awards, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, which is, you know, usually you could do two, you know, like the documentary, people
right.
do the documentary ones or something, right? But.
I didn't really get into some of the other ways that made it longer, like comedy in 2008, romance in 2000, you know. Like those
yeah.
compilation clips, you know? Like,
yeah.
I was just like, what's... I just didn't get that.
Yeah, the Judd Apatow one about comedy was kind of funny, but it was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
The Baz Luhrmann musical number in the middle was atrociously bad, eh?
I don't know if I can...
Like, with Beyonce?
Oh,
and...
right. Yeah, what did she sing?
She sang a whole bunch of stuff. It was like a montage... A musical number about musicals... It was awful.
Yeah. I read in Entertainment Weekly was saying online that Queen Latifah had to stop suddenly at the end of when she was singing over the...
because the clip had ended?
Clip had ended. Because they had to let Paul Newman's clip run out.
Oh, okay.
And so that's the only time you hear the actual dialogue in the film.
Right, right.
Because he was the last one, because he
right.
passed away. But I didn't find that when I watched it.
Yeah, I thought it was actually well-timed.
Yeah, so did I. So I was kind of I wanted to find it and go back and see, is that right?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I found it interesting. I thought that was cool. But, yeah, I think there was a lot of things that just... I thought overall it was a good telecast. Like, I thought
yeah.
it was paced well, but they still could shorten it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was funny. I thought it was funny. It was when they did that really bad musical number, and then he said, Hugh Jackman goes, Baz Luhrmann, you know, he did it, and they show Baz Luhrmann, he was, like, kind of sheepish, like, he was embarrassed by what he had done, because
oh,
it was
kidding.
Looked that bad, you know?
Oh, no.
But the first one was kind of funny, but, all, you know, like, he did kind of, like, a Billy Crystal thing, you know,
mm.
I guess, you know, which,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
it was okay. But say that he actually does have good rapport when he was sort of talking to the actors.
Yeah.
In the audience, because, you know, I guess as a fellow actor, I guess
yeah.
it kind of has that good rapport. And that was he had charm. He had good charm there, but otherwise,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I mean,
hmm.
whatever. Tina Fey and Steve Martin were funny.
Oh, that was so funny. Don't fall in love with me. Yeah, we laughed our asses off. No, it was good. We really enjoyed it, and it's the only award show I like watching now. I didn't even watch the Grammys when I used to watch that back in the day. I think it's just silly. I think it's Golden Globes I wouldn't mind watching if I had TV.
Mm.
But the Oscars is it. I really don't watch
I
any
watch
others.
Every year religiously the Teen Choice Awards.
Yeah, right.
I want to see who wins those surfboards.
Or, you know, no People's Choice, no this, no that, like yeah.
People's Choice, it's what hosted every year by Queen Latifah, I think.
Yeah, it's like no thanks. But she showed real class when she was singing. I was
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure how I would take it, because it is odd to have someone singing live for people who are dead, you know? Like, it was kind of a weird juxtaposition, but it worked out fine.
I kind of like just the orchestra doing something soft over it, but no, I agree. It actually worked out.
Vanessa kept saying, well, maybe they won't clap in the middle, you know? And you know how when people clap and you feel bad for
like
those
that,
people
yeah.
who don't get claps, you know?
And
but they still did. They still clapped.
Yeah. Well, I guess that, you know, that's a good almost 40 minutes.
Yes, I think it feels good to get back into it. Like,
absolutely.
It's funny because when I came today and I buzzed you guys and I came up into the elevator, I had to think about, again, what floor? Because I hadn't been
here.
Oh, really? I felt like I hadn't been here in a while.
Holidays, I guess, last time.
I guess.
New Year's.
And I had to just let my physical memory, my finger, just press the button. It was good. So I got to the right floor.
All right, well, thanks for listening, and hopefully get a few more than three people. I think, you know, we're back into it now, we're showing some promise, and...
I hope so.
We'll get another one when at least next month.
Yeah, well...
Maybe after your birthday.
Maybe after my birthday.
That's right. March 7th, by the way. So I guess that's it. Do you want to end it?
Yeah, I guess, You've been watching. How I'm going to end it. But yeah, so it's the dotmatrix.com. Check us out online. Mm-hmm. And also on iTunes, search for the dotmatrix. I guess the dotmatrix.
And
I guess how it.
Yeah, the dot matrix.
The dot matrix.
And we're also on Facebook.
Right,
it's
we are
open,
on Facebook.
I think.
Yes.
I think it's open to all, so feel free to search for us there in groups.
Sounds good. So until next time, be happy, as Sean says.
Yes, be happy. Have lots of fun.
Or as Sean's mom says.
Yes, as my mother says, for sure.
Cool.
Okay, bye.
Bye.